Welcome to the Mental Minute, an AI-generated podcast. And today, we're diving into something, well, it's pretty fascinating, I think. It's called the Red Queen Hypothesis.
Oh,
Okay,
yeah.
have you ever heard of this?
I haven't.
Okay, well, it comes from evolutionary biology, and it's this idea that you're constantly having to adapt and evolve just to stay in the same place. It's like running on a treadmill. You're putting in all this effort, but you're not really getting anywhere.
Huh, I like that.
And the name actually comes from Through the Looking Glass, Lewis Carroll, remember?
Vaguely, yeah.
Where the Red Queen says to Alice, now here, you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place.
Okay, I see the connection now.
Yeah, so in 1973, this biologist, Lee Van Balen, he proposed this idea to explain a pattern he was seeing in the fossil record.
Okay.
So what was he looking at? Well, he was trying to figure out why species go extinct.
Right.
And what he found was that the likelihood of a species going extinct doesn't actually increase with its age.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think that, like,
you'd think the longer a species has been around, the more adapted it would be, right?
Right, exactly. The more resilient or something.
Right.
They've figured it out.
Yeah, but it turns out that's not really the case.
Huh.
So Van Valen came up with this Red Queen hypothesis to explain why.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Okay, so basically he said that species are constantly in competition with each other, right? It's like an evolutionary arms race.
Makes sense.
So when one species evolves a new advantage, like maybe they develop better camouflage or a more efficient way to hunt or whatever,
okay,
it puts pressure on other species, their competitors or their predators or even their prey to evolve in response.
Right. So it's like a constant back and forth.
Exactly.
Nobody gets to rest on their laurels.
Right. And so it's like everyone's running just to stay in the same place relative to everyone else.
So evolution isn't always about getting better. It's just about keeping up.
Exactly.
That's kind of a mind-blowing thought.
It is, isn't it? And this idea, it has all sorts of implications for how we understand evolution. Even things like, why do we have sexual reproduction?
Oh, that's a good question.
Right? Why go through all that trouble of mixing genes?
Yeah, it seems complicated.
It is. But some scientists, like Bell and Hamilton, they argue that sexual reproduction, it's a way to stay ahead in this Red Queen race, especially against parasites.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because parasites are constantly evolving too, right? They're trying to find ways to exploit their hosts. But when you have sexual reproduction, you're creating offspring with all sorts of different genetic combinations.
Okay.
So it makes it much harder for the parasites to adapt.
Hmm, like a moving target.
Yeah, exactly.
So the parasites can't just specialize in one particular genotype.
Right.
They have to keep evolving to keep up with the host's changing defenses.
Exactly. And there's actually evidence for this. They've done studies on snails,
okay,
where they had a mix of sexual and asexual snails.
Right.
And over time, the asexual snails became much more vulnerable to parasites.
Interesting. So mixing up those genes really did seem to make a difference.
Yeah, it did. They saw something similar with roundworms, too, where the ones that were self-fertilizing, they just got wiped out by these parasites.
Wow. So the Red Queen hypothesis seems to hold up in those cases.
It does in a lot of cases, but it's not the whole story, right? Like, there are other factors involved in why sex evolved and why it's so common.
Right.
Some people point to studies on yeast, for example,
okay,
where they don't seem to do a lot of sexual reproduction.
Hmm?
So maybe there are other advantages to sex besides just fighting off parasites.
Could be things like DNA repair or other benefits that we don't fully understand yet.
Yeah, exactly. And there's even some cases where asexual reproduction seems to be better.
Oh, really? Like what?
Like, there are some gecko species that are asexual, and they actually seem to have fewer parasites than their sexual counterparts.
Huh, that's interesting. So it's not always a one-size-fits-all answer?
Right. It depends on the species, the environment, all sorts of things.
So the Red Queen is a powerful idea, but it's not the only force at play.
Exactly. And this is getting a little complicated, but it's super interesting.
It is.
Because some people even think that the Red Queen hypothesis can help explain why we age.
Oh, wow. How does that work?
Well, the idea is that if individuals live for a really long time, it slows down the pace of evolution for the whole species.
Okay.
Because you're not getting as much turnover in the population.
I see. So you need new generations with new genetic combinations to keep up with the changing environment.
Exactly. And the changing environment includes all those other species that are evolving too.
Right. The Red Queen race never stops.
Right. So aging, in this view, it's like a way to speed up evolution.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Individuals might not live as long, but the species as a whole can adapt faster.
Exactly. So it's a pretty radical idea.
It is, but it kind of makes sense in a weird way.
It does, right? Okay, so let's zoom back out for a minute and talk about those evolutionary arms races that Van Valen was talking about originally.
Yeah, let's get back to the basics.
Right, so what are some good examples of this in the real world?
Well, one classic example is predator-prey relationships.
Okay, like what?
Like foxes and rabbits.
Okay.
As rabbits evolve to be faster, to escape the foxes.
The foxes have to evolve to be faster and better hunters to catch them.
Okay. And it just goes back and forth.
It's like a never-ending game of tag.
Exactly. And there's that old saying, the rabbit runs faster than the fox because the rabbit is running for his life while the fox is only running for his dinner.
I like that.
It really captures the intensity of that evolutionary pressure.
It does.
And you see this kind of arms race happening all over the place.
Okay, like where else?
Well, even in the microbial world, you have these crazy battles going on.
No way, really?
Yeah, there's this bacteria called Myxococcus santus, which is a predator.
Okay.
And it preys on another bacteria called Escherichia coli.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And they're constantly evolving new ways to attack and defend against each other.
Like a microscopic war.
Exactly. And then you have parasite-host relationships.
Okay.
Like parasitoid wasps that lay their eggs inside caterpillars.
Oh, that's gruesome.
It is, but it's also fascinating from an evolutionary perspective.
Okay, why?
Well, because the wasps have evolved all sorts of crazy strategies to suppress the caterpillar's immune system.
Like what?
Some of them actually inject viruses into the caterpillar.
What? To weaken its defenses?
Yeah, it's like biological warfare.
Wow, that's insane.
And then, of course, the caterpillars evolve ways to defend themselves against both the wasp and the virus.
So it's just this constant escalation back and forth forever.
Exactly. And this constant struggle, it's a major driver of biodiversity.
How so?
Well, because it forces species to keep evolving, to keep coming up with new adaptations.
Okay.
And that leads to all sorts of new and different forms of life.
So the Red Queen hypothesis, it's not just about competition, it's also about the creation of new things.
Exactly. It's a creative force in a way.
That's a cool way to think about it.
It is, isn't it? And it makes you wonder, you know, can any species ever really win this race?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If everyone's just trying to keep up, then it seems like extinction is almost inevitable for a lot of species.
It's kind of a sobering thought.
It is, but it's also the reality of the natural world.
Before we wrap up, are there any other big ideas out there that try to explain these same evolutionary patterns?
Yeah, there are a couple of other interesting hypotheses.
Okay, what are they?
One is called the court jester hypothesis.
The court jester.
Yeah.
Okay, what's that one about?
Well, it suggests that maybe it's not all about this constant biotic interaction, this arms race between species.
Okay.
Maybe it's more about abiotic factors like big environmental changes like climate shifts or asteroid impacts.
So stuff that's outside the control of the species themselves?
Exactly. These big, unpredictable events, they can really shake things up and drive evolution in new directions.
So it's like the court jester, just throwing wrenches into the works.
Yeah, exactly. Random chaos driving change.
I like that.
And then there's another one called the Black Queen hypothesis.
Okay, the Black Queen, now we're playing cards.
I know, right?
So what's this one about?
This one's kind of the opposite of the Red Queen in a way.
Okay.
It's about cooperation.
Okay.
It focuses on these communities of microorganisms where different species are dependent on each other.
Okay.
And what it suggests is that sometimes
organisms might actually lose genes for essential functions. What?
Really? Yeah, because they can rely on other species in the community to provide those functions.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's like they're outsourcing those tasks.
That's a great way to put it.
And this can actually lead to more efficient and streamlined genomes.
So it's not always about competition.
Right?
Sometimes it's about working together.
Exactly. And this can lead to a different kind of evolution where species become more and more interdependent.
So the Red Queen hypothesis, it's a really valuable perspective. It helps us understand why adaptation is so important in a world where everything else is also evolving.
It's a reminder that we can't just sit still.
Right.
We have to keep moving, keep changing, just to stay in the game.
It's kind of like life in general, isn't it?
It is.
Always got to be adapting.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a truly mind-bending dive into the Red Queen hypothesis. Thank you so much for breaking it all down for us.
My pleasure. It's been a fascinating conversation.
And to all our listeners out there, think about the areas in your own lives where you feel like you're constantly having to run just to stay in place. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's in your relationships, maybe it's just in your own personal growth. Could it be that the Red Queen dynamic is at play there too? Food for thought, right?
Definitely.
And that's it for this episode of The Mental Minute. Thanks for listening. And keep on running.